Don't worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for listening today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law and asked, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" "In Bethlehem in Judea," they said. "For this is what the prophet wrote. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah, for a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for my people Israel." Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. Then he said to them, "Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. And when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too." After this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. After the wise men were gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up, flee to Egypt with the child and his mother," the angel said. "Stay there until I tell you to return, because Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." That night, Joseph left for Egypt with the child and Mary, his mother, and they stayed there until Herod's death. This fulfilled what the Lord had spoken through the prophet, "I call my son out of Egypt." Herod was furious when he realized that the wise men had outwitted him. He sent soldiers to kill all the boys in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old and under, based on the wise men's report of the star's first appearance. Herod's brutal action fulfilled what God had spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A cry was heard in Ramah, "Weeping in great mourning, Rachel weeps for her children, refusing to be comforted, for they are dead." When Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. "Get up," the child said. "Take the child and his mother and go back to the land of Israel, because those who were trying to kill the child are dead." So Joseph got up and returned to the land of Israel with Jesus and his mother. But when he learned that the new ruler of Judea was Herod's son, Archelaus, he was afraid to go there. Then, after being warned in a dream, he left for the region of Galilee. So the family went and lived in a town called Nazareth. This fulfilled what the prophets had said, "He will be called a Nazarene." Lord, thank you once again for the glorious and the powerful story of Christmas. Thank you for the many insights, truths, and understanding that we grow in as we take time to read and meditate on these powerful truths and insights that we refer to as the Christmas story. Anoint us afresh with the Spirit of grace. Help us to be an obedient church that are seeking to represent you well in the world, to share your love, your grace, and your mercy as we carry out what you've called us as the church to do. Proclaim Jesus to a world that desperately needs him. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Isaac Jackson. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the full miracle of the entirety of the Christmas story. Thank you so much for how you guided Mary and Joseph. Thank you so much for how you protected Jesus in that time. Thank you so much, Father, that you separate death from life. And thank you, Father, that Jesus overcame sin and death. Father, we just praise you this morning, and we thank you for how much you love us and how you call us to you. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. I want to share with you in this initial segment a couple brief articles that we've shared on the AFA stand that help us further introduce what will be the topic and topics we'll be looking at today. The first article is entitled, The Bible, Life, and Abortion. And it lays out a biblical foundation as to what the church, the perspective the church is to have about the life issue. Again, the title of the article, the Bible, Life, and Abortion. What exactly does the Bible say about life, standing for life, and the abortion issue? Does it say anything about these issues, or is it silent? Does it tell us anything about God's perspective and thinking about life and the taking of the life of innocent children? Actually, the Word of God has a lot to say about these issues. Do you want to know God's will and thoughts about these matters? Just look in His book. One definition of abortion is the deliberate murder of a child in the womb of its mother. Another definition is the taking of the life of an innocent baby. The following are passages from the Bible that give us God's counsel, His thoughts, and His will concerning life, abortion, and the taking of innocent life. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 19 and 20. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying His voice, and holding fast to Him, for He is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Again, Deuteronomy 30, verses 19 and 20. Then Exodus chapter 20, verse 13, you shall not murder. Then Proverbs 24, 11 and 12, rescue those who are being taken away to death. Hold back those who are stumbling to the slaughter. If you say, behold, we did not know this, does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? Does not he who keeps watch over your soul know it? And will he not repay according to his work? Again, Proverbs 24, 11 and 12. Then Proverbs 31, verses 8 and 9. Open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all who are destitute. Open your mouth, judge righteously, defend the rights of the poor and needy. Then Jeremiah 32, 35. They built the high places of Baal in the valley of the son of Hinnom to offer up their sons and daughters to Molech, though I did not command them, nor did it enter my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin. Again, Jeremiah 32, 35. Psalm 106, verse 37 and 38. They sacrificed their sons and daughters to the demons. They poured out innocent blood, the blood of their sons and daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. Then 1 John 1, 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In Exodus chapter 1, verses 15 to 22, and Matthew chapter 2, verses 16 through 18, God's word tells us two governmental leaders, two kings who for sad, cruel, and selfish reasons gave orders to slaughter innocent little boys. By their power and authority, their orders were carried out. Tragically, we still have governmental leaders who continue to approve of killing innocent babies in the womb. This is not an exhaustive listing of the scriptures that speak to the issue of life, standing up for life and standing against abortion. These are just a few, but they're enough to help you see what God clearly thinks about the issues concerning life. What should be our response to the insights God's word gives us of His will, His perspective, and His thoughts on these issues? A wise and correct response on the part of believers and the church is that we should get passionately involved and aggressively standing for life. What can believers do to walk out a passion and commitment to the causes of life? Here are just a few ways we can get involved individually and as local churches. Number one, find your local pregnancy center and volunteer your time to help in their ministry. Give financially to one or more local pregnancy centers. Pray for the ministry of pregnancy centers and other powerful pro-life ministries that are on the front lines standing for life. Inquire about the possibility of your church putting your local pregnancy center and or other pro-life ministries into its church budget. Next, Take the time and effort to research and learn about active pro-life ministries that are doing great work to stand for life, to help save babies, and to help end legalized abortion. And then thirdly, educate yourself about every facet of the issue surrounding life and abortion. Sadly, there's much ignorance, apathy, and misinformation about the life issue and about abortion in our culture. Great is the need for the church to become educated spiritually and otherwise about the life issue, and the church should further get involved. Your help is greatly needed in this battle. Every day counts. Can God count on you? Again, the title of that article is The Bible, Life, and Abortion. And this second article is entitled Christmas, Crisis Pregnancy, and Life. Interwoven into the fabric of the wonderful story of Christmas is the unique truth. Christmas and expecting moms go hand in hand. Yes, pregnancy, and specifically crisis pregnancy, has a precious, heartwarming tie to Christmas. How so? Actually, it's pretty obvious. The Christmas story has not just one, but two unusual pregnancies. The very specific story within the Christmas story is captured largely in Luke chapter 1. Two mothers meet, come together, and worship and fellowship with each other. One is a teenage mother who has miraculously conceived a virgin pregnancy. The other mom is one who would normally be classified as a grand or great grandmother based on her age. Yet she too is an expecting mom. We often see and think of this story in a warm, lovely story full of peace, joy, and grace. And it is. Yet the world then was in so many ways a very harsh, cruel, and perilous world to live in. A world where foreign armies occupied Israel, where kings and nations sometimes killed babies in large numbers, and where jealousy and disloyalty abounded. Actually, it sounds a lot like the world we live in today. Our world is one where children can legally be killed from conception right up until the moment of delivery. And governments not only do not oppose this, they often finance the carrying out of these tragedies. And often so-called experts in the medical field and otherwise advise, for all sorts of sad, foolish, and trivial or misguided reasons, women to end the lives of their babies in the womb. And time again, the women are advised to terminate their children based on the so-called wisdom and insight of these quote-unquote experts. All the while, the counsel and clear guidance from God's word is clear. You shall not murder. Exodus 20:13. God's word is our guidebook for life. His word will never lead us to make a bad or unwise decision. God himself is wisdom, so we need to stand on the wisdom of God's word, which will always lead to blessing, grace, and fulfillment. The word of God also says, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. In looking at the beautiful and grace-filled stories of Christmas, let's consider a what-if scenario in seeking to bring together the world at the time of the first Christmas and today with our culture and perspective. Here's a what-if. Dr. Johann eyed his young patient long and hard. Young Miss Mary, you're just a teenager. You're not even fully an adult. You really need to think this through. It simply would not be wise to keep this baby. You're not married. You do not know how to tell your betrothed that you're pregnant, and you are just a child yourself. Child, you must listen to wisdom. If you keep this baby, your betrothed will surely divorce you. You'll be a single mother, and you will be poor. We'll pick up on the other side. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we're sharing from an article entitled Christmas, Crisis, Pregnancy, and Life. We'll be right back.
Savior has been born.
music from Hillsong, a song entitled Hallelujah. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. We're sharing from an article entitled Christmas, Crisis, Pregnancy, and Life, and we'll pick up at this point in the article. In looking at the beautiful, grace-filled story of Christmas, let's consider a what-if scenario. In seeking to bring together the world at the time of the first Christmas and today with our culture and perspective as it is, what if? Dr. Johann eyed his young patient long and hard. Young Miss Mary, you are just a teenager. You're not even fully an adult. You really need to think this through. It simply would not be wise for you to keep this baby. You are not married. You do not know how to tell your betrothed that you are pregnant, and you are just a child yourself. Child, you must listen to wisdom. If you keep this baby, your betrothed will surely divorce you. You'll be a single mother, and you'll be poor, a poor single mother. No one will want you. You will end up all alone and die in poverty, and no one will ever remember your name. And your child will surely amount to nothing, and no one will ever remember his name either. You must not keep this child. Trust me, I'm a doctor, and we know all about these matters, all about matters like this. Be reasonable. You and the rest of the world will be so much better off if we just quietly do away with this baby. What do you say? Good day, doctor. I'm keeping my baby, was Mary's response. Mark my words, you and your baby will never amount to anything, and no one will ever even remember your names. Next scenario. Dr. Johann looked at the elderly woman very curiously. Listen, Elizabeth, I don't know how in the world this came to be, you being pregnant when you're old enough to be someone's great-grandmother yourself. But let me be straight with you. You really should not keep this child. With you being so old and carrying a child, there will probably be something wrong with the child. A woman your age could not have a healthy baby by any means. The child will probably have many problems. At your age, who knows, you and the child could both die during childbirth. Be reasonable. Make it easy on yourself and the baby and just get rid of it. If the child does survive childbirth, he will probably have so many problems, he probably won't even be able to talk. His life will never amount to anything. He'll probably grow up to be a burden on society and nothing else. Mark my words, I'm a doctor and we understand about these kinds of things. Don't you think you should do away with this baby? Elizabeth's response was, good day, doctor. I'm keeping my baby. Dr. Johann replied, suit yourself, old woman. But know this, you and the whole world will regret your decision. I'm a professional, and I know very well how these kinds of things turn out. Again, the title of the article, Christmas, Crisis, Pregnancy, and Life. If you'd like to get a copy of one or both articles, the first article is entitled The Bible, Life, and Abortion. And the second article is entitled Christmas, Crisis, Pregnancy, and Life. Simply email us. My email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We're honored to have as our guest for the balance of the broadcast, Attorney Mary Browning of the Justice Foundation. Mary, how are you today?
I am doing well, Pastor Joseph. Thank you so much for having me on your call.
An honor to have you to come on today. And Mary, I'm going to ask, would you take a few moments just to further introduce yourself, and then I want to invite you to dive right in and share what's on your heart today.
Okay. Yes, thank you, Pastor. Yes, I am the legal advisor to Operation Outcry. And in that role, I have the blessed opportunity to work with a number of women who have experienced abortion. And I have learned so much about this area by meeting with women and talking with them. And I have to say, listening to the first part of this program was just so profound in the sense of thinking about the sacrifices of the historical, like in Baal and the sacrifice to Moloch, and then listening to the accounts of even as Jesus was born, the attempt to eliminate him by killing, you know, all the children, all the males two and under. Mm-hmm. And then here we are in a culture where we have this inertia for people to think and believe that they can play God by deciding whether or not they carry a pregnancy. Mm. I had I had never thought of the story of Mary and Elizabeth in this, in the way of the women and girls, the mothers being adults, and those minors like Mary was facing the questions today like they did.
Right.
One of the things that struck me was it had to be awkward and uncomfortable for both Mary and Elizabeth, and even hard at times. Mm-hmm. But I am certain that they never regretted their babies, their
Amen.
Children, John
Amen.
And Jesus. Mm-hmm. And in talking with women who have had abortions, and I myself had an abortion at 18, and I've never talked with a woman who's had an abortion who didn't regret. I know there are women that don't, but I have never met one that hasn't regretted the abortion and the taking of lives of their own offspring. Mm. So I just want to speak to that. And we had an opportunity yesterday. You mentioned, you read part of one of the articles talked about, you know, our testimonies and confessing our sins one to another. Mm-hmm. And I just want to invite your listeners to contemplate the value of confessing sins one to another, which we don't see a whole lot in our society. But I had the opportunity to confess mine with some other women in front of the courthouse in Kansas City yesterday. And I just want to say there's so much power when you let the light shine onto some of the darkest places in your life and you don't hide in shame. Mm-hmm. And I think that is really why Jesus came, was he came so that our sins would be covered. So the question is, do we believe that? And do we live as if that were true?
Well, Mary,
and I think if we're
would you take a moment before you proceed? Would you take a moment to pray for listeners to have ears to hear all that you have to share? Because as you both share about just your own journey and about the event you were part of yesterday, there's such a need for every believer to understand that all of us can pray, all of us can be involved with doing our part to be witnesses as well as prayer warriors to help be a part of the ending of the tragedy of abortion. So would you listen? Would you pray for listeners to really be wide open to what the Holy Spirit may say to them through the broadcast today?
Yes, thank you for that invitation. Living God, we do just invite your Holy Spirit to rest on the listeners in this hour, those that may have abortion experience in their past and those that do not, and let them know how valuable each of the places that they are and each of what they have to offer, how valuable that is in the kingdom, that you welcome all and everyone has a part and a role that you don't, my thought is, as you're calling forward people, you don't discriminate on the past. Those that have sins such as I of abortion and those that do not both have a role in today. And I just want to thank those that have been intercessors or that are being invited to intercession. I want to encourage you to do that intercession and tell you how valuable it is for those of us that are speaking out to know there are warriors on the wall of intercession for us. So thank you, Living God, for the invitation you make to the hearts of intercessors. And thank you, Living God, for the boldness to speak out for those of us that you have called to do that. Lord, we just pray for these people, the listeners, and we just pray that as the Lord is nudging and moving you today, that you would have the courage to say yes and obey to whatever it is the Lord asks you to do in this hour. In the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Well, Mary, before you proceed, would you take a moment to share just a little background about, of course, the press conference was in relation to the tragedy of the fact that Amendment 3 in the state of Missouri did pass, you know, like six other states as well, sadly, recently. But would you share a little bit about the background of what the purpose behind the press conference you were part of yesterday was about?
Yes, yes. So in Missouri, we did pass Amendment 3, which put abortion and what is called in the amendment reproductive rights into our Constitution. And yesterday, there were a group of us that spoke out just about the harm of abortion, but also in support of our Attorney General, who is defending the statutes in this state, in Missouri, which have protective measures for mothers, women and minors, girls, that are facing the decision of abortion and what they might do or might not do. So in that sense, we want the public to know that there are consequences and there is harm in the aftermath of abortion. And we wanted to support our Attorney General, who was saying the laws that have been passed over the last many years in this state protecting women and girls that are undergoing or considering abortion should be enforced. And Missouri is like other states that passed a constitutional amendment, both in this voting cycle and before, where the question then becomes, are any of the laws valid on the books that have been passed to try to create some sort of protection from the lies of the abortion industry? And I was thinking about how the deception is running through this, both historically as people were sacrificing their children just kind of boldly to Moloch, and then today when it's happening, I would say less with less understanding of what is actually occurring, we are sacrificing our innocent offspring to Baal in the process of abortion without being sort of in tune or in touch with what that actually is or is doing. So the women and myself that spoke out were speaking out. Like, I was 18 when I had an abortion, and the experience was traumatic, so traumatic that I don't have much recollection of that, feeling any pain or hearing any sounds, which other women will speak about. But I did see from the ceiling, so I dissociated completely from my body and watched from the ceiling, and that's my memory of it. So I want people to know that as I'm confessing my sin, I want you to understand the trauma, because it is unnatural. It's an unnatural process. As much as the abortion industry wants it to seem like it's just natural and simple and we're just restoring your menstrual cycle, there's nothing natural or simple or normal about it. So, and I have had consequences that I did not connect dots about in terms of my own overachieving and workaholism and trying to prove my worth, when I, at the core of that was this unworthiness, because I had committed, you know, what really seemed like the ultimate sin. That was going on, I would say, in the back of my mind, in the framework of decisions that I made and what was driving me without me even knowing it. Mm-hmm. So if there's someone in the listening audience that might hear themselves or see themselves in this story, I do offer, living God, we just ask that you would move on their hearts and let them know that there is recovery and restoration, that the redeeming blood of Jesus covers those sins as well. That's why he came. That's why Mary bore him. And I'm just thinking about Mary as a young girl facing a pregnancy and the ridicule and the humiliation and even telling Joseph. And I just, living God, there's nothing new under the sun. These unexpected pregnancies are not something that need to be managed. We just need to embrace them and find a way to be supportive to one another and to be welcoming in our community of the offspring, whether that's children that a person has the capacity to raise, or whether one of the 1 to 2 million couples nationwide that are looking to adopt children would have an opportunity for that. So, Lord, we just thank you. We just thank you for your redemption. We thank you for your model of restoration. And we thank you for the invitation to be part of your story, where we can be intercessors, or we can be confessors, or we can be volunteers, or we can be all of the above. We just give you praise and thanksgiving, living God. So I will, I could talk some more specifically about what exactly
we're coming up on. We're coming up on a break, and we're going to pick up right there on the other side. Our phone guest today is Attorney Mary Browning of the Justice Foundation. We'll be right back. Amy Grant with Breath of Heaven. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Attorney Mary Browning of the Ministry, the Justice Foundation. Mary, would you take a moment to tell our listeners just what the Ministry of the Justice Foundation is about, and if you'll share a little bit more about what Operation Outcry is about as well, please.
Yes, thank you. The Justice Foundation is a nonprofit, and part of the focus is to really be fighting on issues of life, both in the courts and in the public sphere. One of the arms of the Justice Foundation is Operation Outcry. And Operation Outcry is a gathering of people who've had experiences of abortion and who can recognize the harm that that experience has caused in their own lives. And it's an invitation to go on record, and that can be done anonymously or with initials or with a full name if you're comfortable with that. It's signing a declaration that talks about your experience and what the consequences of abortion have been. And those declarations then are used in different courts across the country that to support issues of life and to really try to roll back and combat this move of the enemy to take our young, take our offspring. So Operation Outcry then also has become an instrument, or an instrument is probably the best way, of gathering voices to speak out about the harm in the public sphere. And so it's part of what we did yesterday in Kansas City.
Mm. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to share that. And I believe very much so one of a great need within the body of Christ is for the church to provide more and more of a platform for that testimony, the testimony of women who've been down that road of abortion, to be able to share their testimony, because I believe there's so much the Holy Spirit can really do through that to help people see the devastation and the wrongness of abortion. So thank you again for sharing that, and praise God for Attorney Alan Parker and you and others that are part of the great ministry of the Justice Foundation and all that you're doing, and the powerful project that's called Operation Outcry. Lord, thank you for Mary. Thank you for Attorney Alan Parker and all those that make up the ministry of the Justice Foundation. And thank you for many other ministries that are highlighting the powerful witness of post-abortive individuals who have been healed and forgiven and are able to share their powerful testimony of the journey that God brought them through and how he forgave them and enabled them to be able to share about the wrongness of abortion. More and more, stir us as the church to do what you'd have us to do to help stand for life boldly and stand against abortion. Help us more and more as the church to come alongside and support and work with pregnancy ministries and work with other great ministries like the Justice Foundation that are out there on the front lines helping to share the truth about the fact that God has called us to choose life, that we and our offspring may live. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to every single listener. Help them to discern what you would have each one to do. And help us to know, Lord, that nobody is called to sit on the sidelines. We're all called to be out on the field doing the work of our individual callings. But help us to just anoint us afresh with the Spirit of grace that would help us to do any and all that you've called us individually and collectively to do what you'd have us to do to help stand for life and end the tragedy of abortion. And help us, Lord, to not in any way be discouraged when we see the passing of these tragic amendments that are trying to enshrine abortion into state constitutions. Help us to always be mindful that that's always wicked, it's wrong, no matter how successful it might appear to be, that you've stated in your word, you shall not murder, and your word doesn't change. And your word is the bottom line to all law, all truth, all life. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Jesus.
Mary, would you pray for the church as well? Whatever's on your heart, to pray for the church as well.
Oh, living God, I do intercede on behalf of the church, your body. Lord, show us how to create safe environments for people to be vulnerable and transparent about their own lives. Lord, create a space where people can come and really confess one to another what is in their past and not hide it in the shadows of shame, whatever that past is. But particularly as we're praying today for those that have sexual immorality in their past and those that have the experience of abortion in their past. Lord, let the church be a place where people can feel safe and come for healing. Let the church embrace the weaknesses of the people, because your word says when we are weak, you are strong. And as the church is the example for the culture to not be afraid of speaking out about the weaknesses and what sometimes I think of as the underbelly, Lord, that we know that you will show yourself strong, that you are merciful and compassionate. And for the church that is bold and brave, you will not fail. You have redemption and restoration. And Lord, in this hour, we are so in need of a church that is your true instrument in the earth. We need the church to be leading out by example in confession and repentance and receiving redemption, Lord, that living out redemption. Lord, we just pray for leaders and pastors in the church body that has the courage to be transparent and vulnerable, to speak out and to be the example of repentance, of confession and repentance, so redemption and restoration can be seen also, and others will be led to follow that example which Jesus gave us, that we might live. Because you have said that you cast our sin as far as the east is from the west, and you remember it no more. Lord, let us behave in the way that you would have us behave. If you don't remember the harm, if you don't remember the sin, then what is it? How do we then justify carrying grudges and carrying sin and judgment? Lord, we just pray on behalf of the church that we would lay down our judgments and our condemnation of others, and that we would create the environment to invite people to be honest and safe, and that they wouldn't just feel like they could be safe, but they would be safe. There would be no retribution for transparency and repentance and confession, Lord, that you have been the example. You've already paid the price. So we pray that the church would be all that you have wanted it to be in this hour. We need your church to be operating in the way with Christ as the head, that we're your hands and feet. Let us reflect your glory in the name of Yeshua, in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Mary. Mary, would you share with our listeners, if someone is wanting to get in touch with the Justice Foundation and learn more about it, and or if there are individuals who might want to plug in and be a part of Operation Outcry and the great things that they're doing and the mission behind it, can you tell them how they can do that?
Yes, thank you. You can log on to thejusticefoundation.org. Or look at OperationOutcry.org, and there will be opportunities there. If you're a person that wants to participate in Operation Outcry, there's an opportunity to sign a declaration, and that would be an invitation to us to reach out to you and let you know what we're doing, see if there are things that you might be involved with that we're doing. And if you just want to be a contributor or pray for the Justice Foundation, you can go online and connect with us. If you connect your email, you can begin to get newsletters and whatnot that keep people informed of what's going on with the Justice Foundation and with Operation Outcry. Thank you for giving us that opportunity, Pastor.
Well, thank you. And again, I want to encourage every single listener, please pray much for the work and the mission and the ministry of the Justice Foundation, in that, again, it's a ministry, many people have heard their name, but there are many who have not, but yet at the same time, God has used them mightily to do just a number of great things in standing for life. And there are many other great ministries out there that are on the front lines. My challenge and encourage to every listener is, do your homework and find out about some of the other work and other ministries that are out there that are doing great things. Because until abortion is once again illegal in our nation, it's important that the church never rest. This is a calling from the Lord for us to stand boldly for life. We're called to choose life, that we and our offspring may live. So hope that every listener will choose to get involved. So thank you again, Mary, for being with us today, and keep up the great work.
Thank you so much for having the opportunity to be on your program, Pastor.
All right. Thank you so much. And as we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you are listening today and you know you have never made the eternally important decision of asking Jesus Christ to come into your heart as Lord and Savior, today is a wonderful day, a great day to make that step. If you'd like to make that step and commit your heart and your life to the Lord, would you, from your heart, simply pray this prayer with us right now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. You said in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Help me to read your word daily. Help me to pray daily. Help me to live a life in obedience to your word daily. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer and committed your life to the Lord, we want to be in touch with you once again. My email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Please email us. We want to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord. Please do get in touch. Again, that email, joseph@afr.net. If you'd like to get a copy of one or both of the articles we shared earlier, again, the title of the first article was The Bible, Life, and Abortion. And the second article, Christmas, Crisis, Pregnancy, and Life. Again, we'd be glad to share one or both with you. Simply email us, again, joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get them to you. Thanks for listening. And Mary, again, thank you so much for being with us. And please keep up the great work that you and the Attorney Alan Parker and the Justice Foundation are doing, all right?
Yes, thank you so much, Pastor.
Thank you. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.